Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Impact Silver, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol IPT. And for everyone down in the US, you can find the symbol ISVLF. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Fred Davidson. Now, Fred, it's been a while since I had you back on the show. I know that a lot of my listeners do follow along with what Impact Silver is doing on the production front, and also even more now on the exploration front over the last couple of years, as you guys really have ramped up some of your exploration efforts. Let's first just get a broad update on the production aspect of the company. Just last week, you announced the 2020 full year results, the net income number, $2.3 million, and total revenues, a little over $15.5 million in total revenues. Fred, give us an update on what some of the forecasts are for this year on the production front and any other updates you can give us, please.
Yeah, not a problem, Corey. I think we've in the past have talked about it. Last year was very much a sort of a year of two halves. The first half of the year suffered from a silver price shutdown courtesy of the Mexican government for COVID-19. The second half of the year reflected, I think, what's probably what we're going to see going forward. And that is a great deal more activity. We're going to see prices that are fairly strong, certainly enough to make us excited. And we're going to see, as part of an extensive program that we're doing right now, a gradual increase in the mill throughput at the Guadalupe mill. As we've opened up and expanded what we're doing at Guadalupe and into a zone called Pachaqueño. At the same time, we're working on the Capiri, which is down south. It's a 200 ton a day sort of pilot plant, but the deposit there is substantially larger. And the question is, but it's high cost. The question is, how do we bring down the price so we've got a good healthy margin, or the price of silver goes up, either one. And the other side is there's a good chance we can expand the overall size of that deposit and a couple of deposits nearby, and maybe even make a much larger operation rather than at the 200 ton a day. So it's going to be a busy year for us. It'll be transitional on the manufacturing or the processing side. We'll see a gradual increase as the development slows down and the mining can accelerate at the Guadalupe, for instance. And that'll probably be, towards the second half of the year as opposed to the first half of the year. That development is critical. It's running a kilometer and a half underground railway, at the 195 level out into a new area called Pachaqueño. And we had to rehabilitate a 195-meter shaft as well. So all of that interferes with producing more, but once it's done, you can produce a lot more. So production, therefore, we'll see more of the same in the first half only because the development is ongoing, and expecting to see a gradual increase as we get up to the sort of 500, 550 tons a day at the Guadalupe mill. Exploration is going to consume a fair bit of our time and some money. We do have a situation where we've got over $20 million in the bank. We're generating positive cash flow. And our intention is to really wind up the exploration, a lot of which has been deferred because of the low prices of silver. We've never stopped gathering data, but we haven't been aggressive about it in the last couple of years for obvious reasons. We're going to be very aggressive about it this year. In fact, to make sure we could meet those targets, we've gone out and purchased two rigs. One will be an underground rig dedicated to upping sort of resource that we have underground. The other one is going to be surface, and it's got about a 10,000 meter program ahead of it. And the way things are looking, we may in fact even add another rig because of the number of targets that desperately need a hole punched in them.
Okay, one more quick question regarding the production here, Fred, is what are the costs associated with the ramp up of production when you get into the second half of this year? any significant costs?
No. The CapEx that's involved, we absorb into our actual operating mining costs. We don't capitalize that. So because it's a rebuild of certain things, like the shaft. The shaft existed, we're simply rehabilitating it. So the vast majority of it gets built into our operating costs. Maybe at most sort of $500,000 just to add a little capacity in the mill and to bring in some new underground equipment, new used underground equipment to help accelerate what we're doing there.
Okay, let's get into the exploration then, because I was going through the company's presentation. It seems like four main areas are being tested. However, I think the main three out of these areas are more controlled by Impact Silver and, well, your owned drill rigs. Now, take us through some of the initial targets here, some of this brownfield exploration, please.
Well, the brownfield exploration is primarily up in the northern part near Guadalupe. Guadalupe itself is going to be a source of a lot of exploration. Predecessors, this mine was originally mined in 1529, 500 years ago plus. And what we're talking about is that the previous miner, which was a major company, took about 10 million ounces out of there. They stopped at the boundary of the property they held. We happen to own the other side of that now, and part of Pacha Canyon and what have you is going to be actively drilled from underground, and it's going to be busy for the year under there, just chasing all the new targets that are available to us. The other big target, it's on the same structure a couple of kilometers away, it's called Alacran. Alacran is an old mine. It's even older than the Guadalupe. It's 1527. It was, in its heyday, a very, very high-grade mine. We have, in fact, we've got it on the website, an old report from 1920 talking about grades as high as 35,000 grams a ton and wall rock at 500 grams a ton. Now, this particular mine's flooded when price of silver fell and operating costs, they were using a lot of it was just manual labor. Just got too high. We're going to probably be drilling as near as soon as we can, about 3,500 meters to test this mine. And if we get any joy on it, and I'd be very surprised if we don't, we're going to do a follow-up, because if this thing runs even at the wall rock grades of 500 tons a day, we're going to be there. Now, it's going to be a major capital investment to open it up, and that's why we're going to want to drill it. First of all, you've got to drain an awful lot of water, and then you have to rehabilitate a lot of the workings underground so they're safe to get into. And the only hesitation I have on that drilling is not that I don't expect us to hit something. It's in case that some of the old maps that we have don't sort of map everything underground, and you put a drill hole down and find you're just drilling into empty space where somebody's run a stope previously. So, yeah, it's going to be a very exciting one for brownfields-type drilling. It's we know there's grade there. It's just, is there enough grade to justify a fairly large program of draining, rehabilitation, and accessing it? Just as a throwaway, about 8 years ago, on some of the old waste rock at surface, we sampled grades as high as 8 grams gold on this target as well. So it's a very, very high-grade target, and it's certainly going to be a focus for our part of our program this year.
Okay, so that still sounds like as much brownfields as that is, you guys still need to get the drill on the ground there and even further isolate just what is possible. I also understand there's some greenfields targets, so maybe some less explored, less well-known from historic work targets. What are some of these that you're going to be testing?
Yeah, that's the other exciting thing that's going on. We've been doing some releases on this, but I guess it's sort of in the marketplace. It was sort of ohum. Right next to, well, adjacent to where the mill is, when I say adjacent, we're talking about a kilometer or two away, there's a very steep valley. It's a very steep valley if you're in good shape. It's a canyon if you're not. And it goes down 300 to 500 meters in depth from where the mill is. Now, what makes this interesting is structurally, traditionally, we grade high-grade silver at surface. As you go to depth, the grade of silver falls off and lead zinc picks up. And about 300 meters, they both fade out. The gold copper seems to be occurring at depth below that, another 50 meters or so. And Vea de Oro, Valley of Gold, we didn't name it, by the way, the Spanish did, lies at the bottom of this, at the bottom of this valley, is structurally where we would want to be in terms of chasing the gold target here. There's a very large high mag at the bottom of the valley, some porphyritic rock, but not enough to get us really cranked. But off of this structure is running a bunch of veins, and these veins extend. As it came up, it obviously sort of cracked and fractured the rock around it. These veins have been, exploration-wise, appear to be running with gold in them and copper in them. And one we drilled years ago, and we just thought it was out of place, was Carlos Pacheco. The best drill hole we got there was 18 grams gold over a couple of meters, I think it was 5 meters. What we found recently, right adjacent, well, not directly adjacent, but a few kilometers away to the west, is a target called Chapagnel. And Chapagnel is quite exciting because there's a whole bunch of veinlets here, and we're seeing quite a bit of gold. And in fact, near an old working, over about a 100-meter area that we channel sampled the vein, we got grades up to 97 grams gold, 97 grams silver. So kind of an obvious target to drill. And I won't apologize if we get too much gold tying up our silver system. It's a pretty exciting target in its own right. We've got over 5,000 workings on the property that we've sort of mapped. And every one of them is a potential target, because who would have spent the money and time, hand steel, trying to mine what they found there, unless there is a reason for being there. So we've got a hierarchy of targets. We'll be lucky to get through 5-10 this year. But we're talking about an exploration program. We're talking about an exploration program that's going to be running continuously for the next 2 to 3 years at least.
Fred, let's talk about the overall goals then of this exploration program. I understand this first pass, or let's call it a first pass right now, is to go after some of the higher priority targets and get an understanding of where the drill is telling you to follow up, which results stand out to you. But in this multi-year program, is it going to be about building ounces, or are you going to be focused on something that Impact Silver has done in the past, bringing these target areas, bringing these results quicker into production and getting into production?
That's a valid question. We're looking at both. The obvious reason, obvious thing is we'd like to increase mill throughput. We want to put Capiri back or into production, I think at a higher tonnage than the 200 tons a day. That's as we do. As I mentioned, we're going to be doing ore sorting at Capiri and hopefully upgrading it that way. We'll be drilling off other targets in that immediate area to see if the overall size is way too small at even 500 tons a day. But the other thing we're looking at here is, and we're doing it, is we've got access to a great deal of data on geotechnical, and we're bringing in on geophysical consultants as well to see if there's structurally something happening here where there's perhaps an elephant or, if you will, a source, a common source for a lot of this mineralization. That gives us the elephant. So it's twofold then. One, increase production, make money for our shareholders, make money and to advance the programs. And two, this is a property that's produced millions and millions of ounces. And the question is, where are those ounces coming from? And if we can identify that, we're going to have found the elephant.
All right. Well, Fred, we'll wrap it up here. There's a lot to take in with the what the company is targeting and continuing on with the whole production aspect of the company. But if any of you listening to this want more information on one aspect of the company or have any direct questions for Fred, please email me fleck@kereport.com and I will get those answered for you. Fred, I appreciate the update today. We'll follow up as some more news hits the market. Thank you.
Cheers.